CMC. I'm Mike Bongiorno. I'm joined today by Janine Gagliardi.
Hello.
How are you doing, Janine?
I'm okay. As I told you in a lengthy conversation we had before recording, I had a day.
Yeah.
But I'm here. You know what? The day is over. It's past midnight. On to the next one.
Right. Tomorrow's going to be better. Today's going to be better.
Today's better already. You know what? It was good. Henry started school.
Nice.
A lot of emotions. He had a lot of fun.
That's great.
Then we were stuck in a Walgreens for 2 hours. My phone lost all cell service. Not like I was in a bad area, like Verizon. I didn't have a cell phone.
Your phone
anymore.
Just died, yeah.
Like it just didn't have it.
Stop being a phone.
Stop being a phone for a little while. So it was a day.
Well, I'm glad you were able to be here.
Thank you.
This is a fully.
It's a fully.
Always fun to do a fully.
We're back in a full.
You bet. So let's do trailers.
Let's do right. Yeah, let's do it. I just watched them mere moments ago.
We have four trailers.
Okay.
Let's start with the worst. Winnie the Pooh,
oh,
Blood
Jesus
and Honey.
Jesus Christ.
This is, if you don't know, kids, it's a Winnie the Pooh like slasher movie.
It looks very poorly made. I shouldn't disparage the filmmaker too much. I mean, it's just,
no, go ahead.
It just looks like it's garbage.
Yeah, it's a gimmick. It's only a gimmick.
It's just
That's
a slasher
it.
Movie that has Winnie the Pooh in it.
That's it.
Because it recently became public domain.
Right.
Which I'm sure you know more about this than I do, but isn't that just because people are not like on top of filing like the legal stuff
no.
in time, or does it just time out automatically?
Currently,
like after a certain...
It times out after like, oh God, I don't know what it is now. I think it's like 70 years.
Okay.
I mean, it originally
George Romero famously said like, oh, it only became public domain because we had like a lazy
yes.
lawyer. Like we didn't have a team to
well,
do
the,
it.
The original public domain law in America was 15 years with a right to renew for 30, but 30 was the max.
Oh.
But then
I
as
feel
time,
like Disney was involved.
Exactly. As time went on. Mm-hmm. It got lengthier and lengthier, and
yeah.
Disney, when Mickey was last in the 80s, I think Mickey was almost up for public domain, and they lobbied hard to get it extended. And I think actually what you have now is Disney cares less, because I think our current media landscape is like, I don't think the thing of like, this will just hurt our brand exists anymore.
Yeah.
You know, like Disney, like when that asshole did that, horrible, again, a gimmick movie, that horrible...
Oh, they filmed in Disney.
Escape from Tomorrow or whatever.
Yeah, it didn't make any fucking
Disney
sense.
Smartly just did zero about it. They didn't sue.
Yeah.
They just did nothing about it.
Yeah.
And it was a gimmick, and some people saw it, but most people didn't.
Yeah.
And that's the same thing with this.
Yeah. Agreed. I don't think many eyes are going to be on this.
The trailer is it.
Yeah.
I mean, it could be a trailer for Funny or Die. It's
but it's just not good.
It's Winnie the Pooh as a... Scary as a slasher. Yeah.
Right.
Not
and
just
the main
scary.
Character
I mean,
is Christopher Robin.
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess they're upset that he grew up, so they're going to kill people.
Right. Except they can't include, so we were just talking about this, they can't include any characters that were created for the Disney properties, right? So I think Tigger's one of them.
Tigger was not involved originally.
I don't think so. I don't know. I think, so there's some characters that have to be missing. So like Eeyore is in it, Piglet's in it. But I always feel like Tigger is in the books.
Copyright law is very weird, too, because you can copyright text and you can copyright characters. Like, so it's kind of nebulous.
I wonder. Something about
be more
Tigger,
shit like
I feel
this,
like Tigger can't be included. Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure. But the weird thing is, are they just like men? Are they men in outfits?
Yeah, that's
what
it
looks like. They're just like guys with a rubber mask.
I would love for this movie to have like something clever in it, but I feel like it's not going to.
What it seems to me, and maybe they will do it, but it just seems like he was friends with some vagrants.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
Like, and he's like, these are my childhood friends.
He was friends with lunatic vagrants who he thought were fun because he was a kid and they were like nice to him or whatever. And then
that would be cool.
He left and then they were like, oh, we're going to just slash you. Slash you to death.
Yeah. That's the thing. It's not just a scary movie. It's a slasher movie, which means... Like women with their boobies out are gonna get killed.
Yeah. There's a hot tub booby lady.
Yeah.
In the Winnie the Pooh movie.
I know.
It's weird.
Like if you made like a scare, like there's a cool like Guillermo del Toro version of this where it's like, you know what I mean? Like where it's just like Winnie the Pooh but spooky. Mm-hmm. This is just, it's Winnie the strangers, Boo. But they have Winnie the Pooh masks.
Yeah. And it's not, I imagine it won't be as good as The Strangers. I think The Strangers is a pretty solid movie in terms of like,
yeah.
Fear Factor is a scary movie.
Yeah, Strangers is a good movie. I mean, when she's like, why? And they're like, because you were home. That's
because you were home.
So it's, fucking yeah, disturbing.
The, yeah. I don't think it'll reach any of those high heights.
My mother is very upset about this movie.
Really? I know she loves Winnie the Pooh.
She has a Winnie the Pooh tattoo.
That's right. And I used to find your house on Helen Boulevard because there was a Winnie the Pooh like lawn sign out in front.
Yeah, she's very upset about this.
Oh, you should have cut that because I said the road that you live on.
It's a pretty big one, though.
And it doesn't have the Winnie the Pooh sign anymore.
No,
so.
It doesn't.
You'll be terrorizing someone else if you try to find that.
She texted both me and Anthony, but not in a group. She texted us both randomly. Okay. She wanted two takes on it.
Fine, yeah.
Anthony explained to her what public domain is. Because
she's like, Disney's doing this?
She in some way, she is like falling for the gimmick because she's just dismayed by this.
Mm.
She does not like this at all. Yeah, Sherlock Holmes became public domain about 10 years ago, and there's been just so much. There's like 9 versions of What If It's a Girl. There's like so many of them.
Okay.
I'm interested in other Winnie the Pooh stuff that might happen now. Okay. But this ain't it.
Yeah.
This is, I mean, if it's like shows up on Shudder,
because
I have Shudder randomly, oddly, somehow. I would watch it. I would put very little effort and no money towards watching this.
Okay.
It has to be put in front of me. And I'll go, okay. I'll give it.
Sure.
I'll give it
20. How long are you going to give? 20 minutes?
I'll give you 20 minutes.
Okay.
Oh my God. I recently gave Jay and Silent Bob Reboot 20 minutes.
Okay.
And I was just like, God damn, this is big.
Is that the one where... Is it the newest one?
The newest Jay and Silent Bob
one.
Right now, Clerks 3.
That's the one. Okay.
Clerks 3 is oddly getting good reviews, but I don't know if I can trust it. Because
it's Kevin Smith's story, right? Like, the guy has a heart attack, and then it's...
Yeah, but he did that already in Zach and Mary Make a Porno. He did the story of him making Clerks already. Anyway. So the next trailer is a Wednesday.
Wednesday. It looks like fun.
It does. It looks like something Tim Burton's behind that I can get behind.
It looks... So some aspects of it look like some of his...
It looks like actually like he's not... He doesn't have as much of a stranglehold on it. So it's got a cool look to it, but it's not Tim Burton-y ad nauseum.
Well, didn't he do this the book... Not the book, the movie... Miss Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Kids.
Yes, I did not watch that.
I watched
it. I read the first 3 books, loved them, and refused to watch. He kind of my favorite character, so I was like, fuck this movie, I'm not saying it.
Well, it has his sort of unmistakable style, but I also felt like he didn't have such a, like just wrestle, as you said, stranglehold on it. Really just imbuing absolutely everything with Burton-esque
style.
And it has truly scary moments in that movie. Like, I was watching it, I mean, this is pre-kids, but like Bill was working like a night shift and I was home watching it. I was like, whoa, there's some stuff in here that's scary. Like, I couldn't believe it.
Spoiler alert, the therapist is the bad guy. Is the therapist is a guy or a girl in the movie?
Is there a therapist character? It might be Samuel L. Jackson, maybe. Yeah. No, I don't know.
And okay.
The Samuel L. Jackson character is the bad guy.
Whoever, but it's like that, someone that the kid trusts and then turns out.
Okay, yeah.
It's a therapist in the book.
Okay. I don't remember.
All right. Well,
this
it looks like there's
that.
Some irony in it. She goes to Nancy Reagan High School and there's a Nancy Reagan bust. That's pretty fun.
It looks, you know, they always like to juxtapose Wednesday against these like day glow, like 80s, 90s colors.
Yeah.
In Adam's Family Values, it's so great at the camp. And this, you can kind of see that as well. She just looks like a bad bitch walking through the halls.
Yes. I like a little older. Like, teenage Wednesday is a little bit more dangerous.
Yeah. Jenna Ortega plays her.
I love her.
Love Jenna Ortega. She first got on my radar. She's like a former Disney star.
Yeah.
She plays young Jane in Jane the Virgin.
Oh, okay.
And she's very good.
She got on my radar in the newest Scream movie.
Okay.
And then
she was in the queen.
Yeah, she was
in
the Fallout.
She's in the movie X.
Yes, she's good in that.
Yeah.
By the way, there's a prequel of that. X is okay.
Yeah.
But there's a prequel of X coming out.
Yes.
Called Pearl that looks really good.
Yeah. So, and they were made, I think, at the same time.
Yeah, same sets and everything.
It's interesting.
Yeah, she's really good. The Fallout is a story about a school shooting and like two kids that are like hide in the bathroom and they become best friends. They kind of trauma bond. It's like pretty good drama. Yeah, I like her a lot. And she's Wednesday and she's Latina and she's very proud. Because, look, the father's name is Gomez, right?
Yeah.
So.
And always has been.
Right. So it would be implied that Wednesday is Latina.
Or at the very least, like, I always assumed, I actually never assumed that he was Latino. I assumed he was Spanish from Spain.
Okay, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that kind of felt in keeping with, like, the old money.
Yeah.
And, like,
yeah.
Maybe it was, he has his old money through, like, weird like conquistador background or something.
Well, like he in the movie he has a straight up like dungeon full of gold.
Yeah. And played to perfection by Raul Julia.
Perfection.
Whom I adore and love.
And but this one is, and Bison.
But he's Puerto Rican. Luis Guzman, I don't know if he's
I'm not sure what he is.
Puerto Rican. Well, he's alive and well in Gomez. But let's see. I think Luis Guzman is also Puerto Rican. So this is
Luis Guzman,
he's a Puerto Rican actor. Yeah. So if he's another, so it's like now it's become like a tradition of Puerto Rican actors playing Gomez.
Why not?
Mm.
And so, I mean, I love Christina Ricci and what she did, but.
Actually,
I don't know. Am I just assuming Christina Ricci isn't Latina?
I mean, Ricci is like an Italian last name.
Yeah, I don't think so. Yeah. Well, according to Jenna, no Latina's ever played her. So she's very proud to be.
Well, that's great.
Yeah.
And then we have Morticia, played by the most beautiful woman in the world, Catherine Zeta-Jones. Yeah. That's according to my mother.
No Pugsley seen in the trailer.
No, we haven't seen
mentioned,
him.
Mentioned, though.
Yeah. No one's allowed to torture my brother but me.
Yeah.
Which I like.
She castrates a bunch of douchebags with piranhas.
Yeah.
Which gets her kicked out of regular school.
Yeah.
Here's what I'm worried about. Mm-hmm. She seems to go to, like, Sabrina scary school.
Yeah.
And I don't want it to be Sabrina again.
I know.
I don't want a
Nevermore Academy.
Yeah, I don't want I don't want a magic school. There's too many magic schools.
Yeah. But it does seem like she's also weirder than everybody there.
Yes.
Which I like.
But yeah.
You know.
The thing that really enchants me in the trailer is her crazy dancing. She's just like this weird spider dancing.
Yeah.
And it's like a murder mystery. She's trying to solve some murder.
I don't know. It actually reminds me a lot of the series, Series of Unfortunate Events that's on Netflix, which I really enjoyed.
I did not see it.
Bill and I watched the entire thing. Mm-hmm. It does seem like it's probably geared towards younger audiences, but I think adults can enjoy it. And it has,
I read some of the books.
Okay. It has like a Tim Burton look to it, mm-hmm. But it's not by Tim Burton, I don't think. And I don't know. We really liked it. So in watching this, I was like, oh, this is the flavor of that.
Yeah.
And I think it should be like a lighthearted, spooky kind of show.
Yeah.
Looks like fun. She's a fencer. She always is. She always has swordsmanship.
And Jenna did fencing lessons for the role. She learned a lot.
Every time you say Jenna, I'm like 30. What? Yeah.
She's got the delivery down, that dry humor.
Yeah.
Like, I like stabbing.
Yeah.
Like, she's got it. As you said, she Jim Halpert's a lot, at least in the trailer.
Yeah. She looks at the right camera.
I'm for it. And of course, in the trailer, she does the snap as a reference to the Addams Family theme song. I'm a huge Addams Family fan.
Yeah.
I love the first two movies. Mm-hmm. I've liked the animated movies that have come out since, the more recent ones. I loved the Saturday morning cartoon from the 90s.
Oh, yeah. I watched that. That was good.
I love the Addams Family. Last year, or maybe the year before, me and Jen drove out to wherever the fuck in New York Charles Addams is from, and we went to his house.
Oh, is it like a big spooky Victorian?
It's very big spooky Victorian, nice. Yeah. And the little, like, town that he's from are so into it. Like, it was Halloween, so they were like Addams Family everything everywhere.
That's cool.
There's an Addams restaurant. Like, they are into it. It's gorgeous there too. So I love Charles Addams.
What's funny is, like, maybe his most enduring character is Wednesday.
Yeah.
And
she's the standout of all of them.
Yeah. Because, like, Morticia and Gomez as a couple, You know, and Morticia's visually striking, yeah. and like we, but on her own, Wednesday is the one that gets the spotlight a lot. Pugsley's just like not interesting enough.
Yeah, Wednesday I feel is like an archetype for like Lisa Simpson and people like that.
Or like the what's overachieving. Her face? From Beetlejuice.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yes. Yeah. Lydia Deetz.
Yeah.
The overachieving spooky girl who's kind of the standout even in her weird family.
She's Daria. She's the the Alterna goth.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Whom we love. Who's very bright and obviously gifted, but just like does not fit in. Yeah. You know, she doesn't go along to get along.
Yeah.
And life is harder for her because of that. And like who couldn't relate to that sometimes?
And Wednesday, I feel like...
But she always wins.
Yes.
Right? Like she's not bullied to the point where she's like, I'm sad. She's like, no, I'm going to murder every last one of
you. She's in control. Like in Addams Family Values, she's put in a scenario that she's not very... in charge of.
Mm-hmm.
And she that Thanksgiving pageant.
Oh, she figures out a way to do it.
She figures it out.
I get chills when she does her speech.
Yes.
She's like, the gods of my tribe have told me not to trust you. My people will sell beads by the roadside.
She reclaims.
She takes it back.
She does take it back. She's a social justice warrior.
She is. Also, every kid who is cast as a Native American is either a POC.
Yeah.
Or disabled in some way.
Yeah.
It's just.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Not okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
At all.
And any, like, I don't know, maybe it's not true anymore, but like in the last many generations, like any weird girl in your class, people are like, what are you, Wednesday Addams? Like, it's just like the meme, you know what I mean? Like meme of the dark girl.
Yeah. Are you dressed all in black?
So this, I'm excited to watch this, but I enter with
a little bit of caution.
With caution, you know,
I'll give it 20 minutes.
Confess Fletch.
Okay,
this is a Fletch movie that's been in development hell for 15 years, maybe longer.
Only 15.
Yeah.
I'm surprised by that. How many Fletch movies did Chevy Chase do?
Two.
The original Fletch. He originated the character.
No. Oh well, yes, no, he was the first person to play it. Yeah, yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, but he changed the character a lot.
You've reached the limit of my knowledge of this series. There were movies and they were books. That's all I know.
So there's like 10 books. There's a lot of books. Mm-hmm. And they're like quick little...
And were they very successful? I mean, I guess successful enough to have a movie series.
Yeah, they were like 200-page, very dialogue-heavy, like quick little mysteries.
Okay.
The first movie, Fletch, is based on the first book.
Okay.
Which is the only one I read.
And he's, according to the trailer, he's a journalist, not a detective, although he behaves like a detective.
Yes. Okay. He's an investigative journalist.
Now, in the Fletcher. Right.
I am Fletcher.
So his last, I am?
His, Irwin something Fletcher.
Oh, okay.
And but everyone calls him Fletch, but his name is I am Fletcher.
I am Fletcher. Okay. And he's related to Jessica Fletcher.
No.
Oh, because she solves murders also.
I see where you.
She's Fletch. That was a reboot? They went in an odd direction. Chevy Chase to Angela Lansbury.
It's a cinematic universe?
The Fletch universe.
So what Chevy Chase brought to it was much broader comedy.
Okay.
And his Fletch wore a lot of costumes to get in and out of places. Where in what you see in this new movie, what John Hamm is doing is much more like the book where he's just a smart aleck. He's just like can talk his way in and out of things.
Okay. I mean, he seems like a dope at times. Like he's not supposed to be.
Yeah.
Slick, right? Or like,
yeah,
is he supposed to be?
He's a little slick, but he gets like he fucks up a lot.
Okay, it looks like that.
He while trying to solve the crime, he'll get accused of it.
Right.
This film's called Confess Fletch. I think this is also based on one of the books.
That seems like a book title. It does seem like that.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and all the titles were like that. It was always Fletch something else.
Go home, Fletch.
Right. Exactly. The second film, Fletch Lives, which I love, is actually not based on a book, but I love it. It's so funny. He like inherits a plantation. It's Cleavon Little's in it.
The horror in my eyes that Fletch you could not
Lives
see
is so good. I love Fletch, the movies. So Kevin Smith wrote a Fletch script in like 1999 or something. Wow. And for a long time, Ryan Reynolds was...
I could
supposed
see
to
that.
Be Fletch.
I could see that.
I think he'd be better. I like John Hamm, and I think John Hamm's funny, but it feels like he's sleepwalking through this movie.
Huh.
And I know this was a big shot for him, so he's choosing to sleepwalk through it.
Huh.
I don't know why. It seems like I understand they want to be more like the books. and distance himself from the Chevy Chase movies. But it feels like in doing that, it looks dull. It looks a little dull, doesn't it?
It does.
I mean, hopefully it's got, I mean, what the book is known for is like really snappy dialogue.
Okay.
Hopefully you have that in this movie, but the trailer's not showing that.
It's not showing that. They're reuniting the Mad Men cast.
Oh, right. Because his boss, Frank.
I can't think of the actor's name, but yeah, he's his boss in Mad Men.
Frank is always his boss. It's his boss in the original movie and book.
Okay.
I'm trying to think who, you would know, he's in every sitcom from 1970 to 1991 as a doctor. Okay. If I showed you him, you'd be like, oh, that dude.
Oh, that doctor.
Oh, I've seen him deliver babies on elevators in every sitcom.
Okay, okay.
He's Frank in the original Fletch. Mm-hmm. And I think that might be Gina Davis's like second movie or something. She's in it.
Huh.
In the book, he has a sexual relationship with a 15-year-old girl.
Okay.
Which is played for laughs in the book, but is very problematic now.
Oh, boy.
And his editor, he's very sexist towards his editor.
Mm-hmm.
It's not perfect. But anyway, I've been waiting for another Fletch film. I want this to be good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like Knives Out. I feel like cozy mysteries are coming back.
Okay.
I just watched all of Only Murders in the Building. That's a pretty cozy mystery.
Oh, it is a cozy mystery. I've only seen season one. I know season two is out. So we gotta get on that. Yeah, I finally finished The Boys, though. It took me the entire summer. So we'll talk about that later. Yeah. It was only 8 episodes. It took me the whole summer.
Yeah.
Really.
What a chore. So that's all. That's it. If I didn't already know anything about Fletch, there's nothing in this trailer that would make me want to go out and see it.
Yeah.
But part of me wonders if even the great me, is living in such a media Marvel world that a movie that's kind of for grown-ups bores me.
Huh.
That I'm like, oh, what a dull trip.
Oh, my God.
What are we looking at?
Sorry, I think a lantern fly is trying to get in the house. Or a moth, maybe? Hopefully a moth.
Oh, my God.
But you're not allowed. I was just like, I've never seen anything fly this up morning, to that window at all.
This morning, I saw a spider in my kitchen that was gigantic.
Oh, my God.
Gigantic. And I squished it with a broom, and the motherfucker didn't even move. Like he had a death wish. Or he thought he couldn't die.
Show me how big. No. No.
I don't know.
No.
I don't know how to do it.
No.
First of all, he had really big legs. He had like up and down legs.
No.
He was upsetting.
No.
He wasn't hairy though, so he wasn't that big. But he had so many legs.
Oh.
No.
Bill once took a picture in this house of a spider that was just like coming up the stairs one morning as he was leaving for work, and before he murdered
it, alone.
He took it, and I was like, "Don't! Why did you show me this? Why did you show me this in my house? Like, this is an intruder. This is an intruder."
I could call the police on this
animal.
I didn't take a picture because I couldn't get the scale to show. I wanted to be like, "Hold this quarter,
just real quick."
In one of your many, many appendages.
Oh.
Once
I baited a spider out because I wanted to see how big it was. It was right on the porch. It lived under just like the top of the railing. And yeah, right. I challenged it to a race.
Oh, were you scared of me?
And it had built this little web, and I saw it, and it was a big boy. And I saw it come out, and I was like, ooh. And I took like a little pebble and I tossed it into the web. Yeah. And this thing pounced so fast, I scared myself. And I expected a spider.
Yeah.
And it was, I don't do spiders. I don't like them. I'm very much like Ron and Harry. I was like, no. I get the creepy crawlies immediately. Yeah. And I know they're good. I know they catch the other bugs. We like spiders. Mm. We keep them. But no, I'm always going to wash the spider out. Like,
I understand. Yes.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. I'm with you.
Ooh.
It's a completely different feeling than from like a roach. Like nothing is grosser than a roach.
Disgusting.
But a spider, you
need to kill it. But a spider.
A spider is like, spider's, you're smart and evil.
Threatening me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like a spider is going to do something to my mind if I let it near me.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I agree. So the last trailer is, well, a bunch of shit dropped today because it's D23, the Disney Expo, or Disney, it's kind of like a
Disney Plus Day. Yeah.
The teaser trailer to the long-awaited Little Mermaid live-action film.
That's right. It looks pretty good. I think. No?
No.
You're not with me? She's got red hair. You know, she might be under this. Yeah. So what are you going to say?
I just repeat myself. As we record this, the new Pinocchio came out. You know, I've said the same thing about all these. The Lion King, Beauty and the Beast. I don't know. I don't get why they do this.
Yeah.
I don't know what the point of doing this is.
Cinderella was a little different. It was almost like...
A little bit.
It was different enough. It wasn't like shot for shot, like we're doing it. Like, they did different things with it. I feel like they didn't do that with the other ones. I feel like this one might be more in keeping with the Cinderella, because her design is close enough in color. Like, she's got the purple bra top and the green tail, but like the tail is different.
If it's different enough,
yeah,
I'll see it, because I love Little Mermaid. It's maybe my favorite Disney animated film. But
we get to hear her sing.
I don't know. We're gonna look back at this whole era and be like, shat on everything they had. Everything great that they had, they brought out, prostituted, and fucking...
Oh, my God.
Exploited. And they act like somehow it's helping the legacy of these films to make live-action replicas of them.
That's what they are.
But I don't think it does.
I know. I don't feel like we're getting a new take.
No.
But... if we're going to get one of these, then I think at least they're doing a few interesting changes. We don't get much from this trailer, right? Like, we see the tail design. No, it's a teaser. We see the CG.
We hear her sing a little bit of part of your world.
Yes, it sounds like a more, singer with a capital S version. Like a little more soulful version.
Yeah.
And I was like, we might be under the sea, but she's taking us to church. So I hope there's more of that. You know, I'd like some vocalizing happening in the songs. Especially because we're not going to get it from Melissa McCarthy, let's be real.
Oh, right. I forgot she is Ursula.
Yeah.
I'm trying to... So, if you want a new take on The Little Mermaid, you should watch the movie Lore.
No, you should the not. Lore. Absolutely. Don't tell people that, because they're going to be like, great, I love The Little Mermaid. I'll love this movie.
Well, don't show your children it, but...
It's a horror movie.
It's Polish. Yes. But it's a wonderful...
Right. It's a good horror movie.
It's incredible.
It's like...
It's also a musical. It's a musical comedy horror movie based on Little Mermaid.
Mm-hmm.
It's sexy as all hell. But it's
like
fun.
The Danish... story of The Little Mermaid, not
yes,
like,
yes, yes. Which,
you know, it the real fairy ending. Tales are always like darker and horrible.
Yeah, that if you, but if what I'm saying is, if you want a fresh take,
okay,
this is what you watch, The Lore.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, Sofia Coppola was making one and it didn't happen.
I would have loved that.
I would have liked to have seen what that was going to be.
Yeah, you know, these underwater movies are very difficult to do without CGIing them to death, because like,
yeah.
It's difficult to film people underwater.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Like Splash, you know. There's that great sequence in Hook when all the mermaids are coming over and like giving them air. And I thought those were like the dreamiest mermaids I've ever seen. Like, I still do, actually. I love them. They're all different colors.
Were you a mermaid girl?
I was a little mermaid girl who loved mermaids? You better believe I was a mermaid girl. Like, that was our favorite game to play in the pool.
Mermaid.
On the beach. It was always like, what color is your tail? What color is your top? What color is your hair? What animal do you have? Do you have a seahorse? Do you have a dolphin? Like, this is a pretend game. Right. We always play mermaids. And then we did something very dangerous in my above ground pool when I was a kid. The like ladder, you had to swim like between the ladder and the lining of the pool.
Yeah, sure.
To transform into the mermaid. Of course, like if you weren't a good swimmer, you just get stuck. And we were not being supervised. So it was it was a dangerous game.
Well, it was the 90s.
Mm.
So, of course, you weren't supervised.
Well, yeah, mermaids. Mermaids are the best.
Okay. I recently went to this... what was it called? I'm at the point of the night where I can't think. Mm. I recently went to, like, a festival thing.
Okay.
It was called Lumen Festival. It's kind of witchy. There was a drag show, but it was, like, in a barn. It was incredible.
Wow.
And there was a mermaid, a beautiful woman in a beautiful setup, and there were, like, little girls...
Oh, yeah.
Lined up to take selfies with her. And I get it.
We go to a lot of children's birthday parties, not with our kids, but just for fun for ourselves.
Sure, sure.
And, you know, there's invariably going to be a face painter there.
Yeah,
and the girls are almost always mermaids. I mean, I don't see many a unicorn. I see mermaid after mermaid. They draw like little fish scales and they do like seashells and stuff on their face. It's very cute.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Have they done mermaids on What We Do in the Shadows yet?
Yeah. Well, no. They did a siren. Yeah.
Which was, she was like a chicken person.
Yeah.
Hilarious.
They do, a lot of times they'll do good takes on mermaids in Peter Pan adaptations because the mermaids are pretty big part of Peter Pan.
Right.
And even the Peter Pan Disney animated, like the original one, there's one mermaid they like, there's like memes online. They'll always be like, oh, this is Ariel's mom. This one.
Oh, right. Because
there's one that looks like Ariel.
Right.
Yeah. There's that one that came out in the early 2000s. The mermaids are dangerous in that one. Like, the mermaids try to drown Wendy, but...
Well, that's the thing. They're like sirens.
They're like sirens.
They draw you in.
There's the... So, in that 2000s one, they're like... They're scary. Like, once they go underwater, they have, like angler fish mouths, you know? So, it's not good.
And sometimes they're sexy.
They're usually sexy. You know, but that's where you get in trouble. They got lady boobs. You know?
They got lady boobs.
They got lady boobs. When you... So, when you learn about, like... Where, like, the history of the mermaid, it's always very interesting. It's always like, well, the sailors had sea madness and they wanted a woman.
And it was just.
And they're like, and they saw a manatee. I'm like, really? They thought a woman? I was like, woman must have been looking real rough back then. They thought this gray.
Well, you got seasick. Sea cow. You have sea madness.
The manatee. Mm.
There's something.
There's one in that movie, The Lighthouse.
Yes, there is. The Dave Eggers
movie.
I forgot there was a mermaid in that. That movie's fucked.
She's got a vagina.
Going back to Hibaro, there's something mermaid-like about
her. She emerged from the water.
And she's like scaly with all the gold and stuff.
Yeah.
Well, you'll see none of that in this. You'll see the songs you know and love.
Well, my only thing is, she doesn't look like she's in the water.
It'll all be exactly the same, except one side character is going to be wildly different. Okay. And we're supposed to go, wow. And someone will be vaguely gay in the background.
Yeah.
That's it.
Sure.
Like, I heard about...
Grimsby was gay in the original movie.
Yeah. But I heard, like, in this new Pinocchio, it's exactly the same, except Jiminy Cricket. He's a meta wisecracking fucking...
Oh, my God. Is he a disabled gay witch? Because I would love that.
All right. Let's take a break, and we'll come back with the chill sesh. Welcome back to PCMC. I'm Mike Bajardo. I'm joined once again.
By I rejoined you.
Yes, thanks for coming back. How are you?
I'm good.
Still
good? I'm still good.
How was your break?
It's okay.
Okay. So this is the chill sesh. This is the sesh where we chill. What time is it?
It's almost
one. Is it the latest we ever recorded?
No.
You're a mother, so we have to record in the dark of night.
We do. One of my children showed up today anyway.
This is we're hitting a wall because in a few years they're gonna be up.
They're just gonna be up. Yeah. We'll have to do it.
Just have to put them on the show.
Oh yeah. Well, you know, Henry tried to get on the show tonight.
Did he? He could if he has something. I'll talk about Mickey cartoons.
He's nothing important to say. I can tell you that right now. You know what? Wow. I can tell you. He'll be like, and then I'm like, listen, be more succinct.
I'll sweeten it up. I'll tell you.
Cut it up. Henry,
did you make notes?
Listen,
notes.
If you listen to this one day, I'm just gonna tell you like it is. You're 4 years old. You're not that interesting. I'm sorry.
He's going to... Yeah. Can you imagine when he just... Like, in 5 years, he's like, I want to listen to every podcast you've made.
I'm like, great. Go for it.
And it's just hard. It's just you talking about how horrible life is.
Like, he just listens to, like... It's Miranda this last season of Sex and the City. Where she's like, I fucking hate Brady.
Yeah.
I adore Henry. And he's the light of my life. And he's actually very funny. But I don't trust him to give me, you know, snappy one-liners or things I can... You know, he's not a good sound-biteable podcast. Yeah.
It's not a good podcast.
But I did have to tell you what they were doing. So he was all like, I want to see Mike. I want to see Uncle Mike. I was like, is he an an uncle? I don't know that he's uncle status.
Wow.
He's like, all right, I want to see Mike.
Wow. I like that you fucking steered him away from that.
So he was like, so Bill was like, well, no, because he's like, I want to record the podcast with you. I was like, you're not doing that. So Bill was like, okay, I'll make a deal with you. How about we go to bed right now and I'll record a podcast with you? And I went in there to get something after I said goodnight to them, and it was the cutest thing. He was like, hi, this is Henry, and this is what I did at school today. Yeah. I cannot wait to listen to that tomorrow. I really, really can't.
So you're going to drop that on what, on Spotify?
Yeah.
All over.
It's just going to be a very special episode of PCMC. Yeah. Although Bill did suggest, he's like, listen, we're going to Disney. If they want to listen to our family Disney trip, we'll record every night. We'll make a little thing for Mike and we'll send it over.
I'll listen to it. I'll
just in the background. Just yeah. Be like, and then we saw and this. And then. That.
No, I'm all for. We deal with such juvenile shit in the show sometimes. It would be interesting to have actual children.
An actual child. I mean, a couple years, maybe. See. You're just going to hear a lot about, like, Pokemon, I guess. I don't know. That's what kids like. What do they throw? They throw the ball and it turns into a thing. I'm not there yet in my parenting journey of a little Pokemon? Boy. No. It's like, is it Beyblade? I don't know. It's some shit that I hate.
Wow.
I really have nowhere to go because I don't like Little League and I don't like the, like, nerd shit that, like, that age group likes, which is, like, throwing toys at the floor.
Throwing toys.
I don't like that.
Yeah. So, but then if they stay nerds, though, you can.
Eventually, I'll get to a back place into where them we when like, they're like 16 the steam
and
shit.
Like, I want to read fucking Brave New World or whatever.
And they're like, great. Let's watch Akira, I guess.
Yeah. I guess.
I just wish you'd stop masturbating on everything I own.
Oh, yeah. That's like soon for you.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
It's not soon.
Yes, it is.
Jesus Christ. I hope it's not soon.
They discover it. They discover it early.
Well, considering how quickly these episodes go for us, I'm like, in the blink of an eye, it's going to be 10 years.
I know. So this is a chill sesh.
It's not very chill, as usual, between us.
What have you been chilling with?
Okay, so I'm 1 week out from going to Disney.
Yes, super exciting.
It has been my every waking thought has been Disney.
Yeah, of course.
So I'm
counting the seconds.
Planning, you know, every last detail and then pulling back and being like, I'm going with a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old. I cannot plan this much. It won't happen. I will be miserable. I'll make my family miserable.
Yeah.
We can't do this. So I'm trying to loosely plan, kind of casually steer. And, you know, if we get there, we get there. And, you know, if we have to ride the Tomorrowland Speedway like 5 times in a day, which I feel like might happen, then, you know, whatever. It is what it is. But it's for them.
Yeah.
I'm making my peace with this is not a me Disney trip. And it's fine.
Yeah.
Because I do love
You'll
Disney.
Enjoy it.
I feel like I'm bringing him to, you know, like my old stomping grounds or something.
Right.
I'm like, I can't wait. They're except so excited now, for me to come back. They want to see me.
Except now it's worse and costs
it's just
more.
It's terrible and every part of it is online and I have to be on my phone all day. Yeah.
How are they? Are they excited?
They're very excited.
Yeah.
They're very, very excited. But if you ask them what they're excited for, they're like, Mickey! It's like, yep, we're going to meet Mickey. Don't worry.
Well, you know what? They won't be disappointed.
No.
That motherfucker's everywhere.
Oh, yeah. And you know, we have some... I'll do the, like, what is it, the Town Square Theater meet, because we can see both of them. And then we're also doing Chef Mickey's. We're going to do. So we're going to eat there. So
they're going to love every second of it.
I hope so.
You just got to keep them hydrated.
Got to keep them hydrated. Keep them going to the bathroom. You know, make sure their needs are taken care of.
They've got little legs. Take little breaks.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I mean, Henry hasn't been in a stroller in a long time, but we rented a double stroller.
Yeah.
Like, we're pushing them everywhere because it's too much.
It's wild.
It's a long day. It's an intense experience.
It's hot as fuck.
Everywhere you look is something fun and crazy. You're meeting your heroes.
There's human beings everywhere.
It's so crowded. It's like a sensory overload. And in addition to that, you have to walk like 5 miles a day. So it's too much.
It's a crazy amount. You also were eating just nothing but pure sugar.
Pure sugar. Yeah.
All day long.
Yeah. So it's a lot. I'm trying to mentally prepare. So we'll see how it goes. I hope it's a lot of fun. But that's been mostly what I've been chilling with. And it's just been like YouTube videos. It's DFB awesome, guy. Awesome, Disney Food awesome. Blog. And then also I had to... Oh, that's really more of an obsession, I would say. But...
Yeah, yeah.
Also, I've taken the entire summer to get through 8 episodes of the series, the Amazon Prime series of The Boys.
How did it take all summer to watch 8 episodes?
Because Bill and I are watching it together and he falls asleep.
Oh, I see. Wow. So it's
not immediately boring. His fault. It's not boring, but...
You just people...
He like lives. Our children are just so taxing that like it takes so long to put them down to sleep that by the time we get into bed,
tacky.
They're just our children are so tacky. Children are tacky. It's like, they have no taste at all.
Everything's so gauche.
They are gaudy little motherfuckers.
It's like less is more, kids.
Mm. And they don't get that. So by the time like our head hits the pillow, he's out for the count. Like it's done. He also gets up
in bed.
Yeah, he also gets up at 4 o'clock in the morning. So it's yikes. Not going to happen.
Yikes.
So it took us that long to watch 8 episodes. And you know what? We finally finished it. It's a good season. It's a solid season. It's the most...
It's season what? 2 or 3?
3.
How's it stack up to the others?
Is it the best? It might... It's close. It's like tied with season 2, I would say. It's a strong season.
Are you going to watch that animated spinoff that they did?
That, I think I actually missed. I think it's like bridges the 2 seasons.
Oh, okay.
So it's called Diabolical, yeah. I think. And it's like Emmy nominated.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'll probably check it out. I mean, I invested this much time. Only a mere right. 8 hours, but it took forever.
Right.
Because it's long, too. It's like an hour-long episode. And
boy, that makes a huge difference, doesn't it?
It really does. And Bill also... made a good point, which he's like, I get Mean World syndrome from this show.
Yeah, yeah.
Because everyone's so horrible.
Yeah.
Everyone on the show is awful. The show's gory. The show has extreme, extreme violence. You know, you always feel like the main characters' lives are in danger.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's just, it's like kind of a bit of a watch. Like it takes a lot out of you to watch it. But I can truly, truly say that this show has some things that I have never seen before.
Really? Like what?
Okay. So in the first episode, I was like, boy, they're going for their Emmy this season. There is a character who can shrink in size.
Uh-huh.
And he's not a main character, but he's just like one of the superheroes that they're hunting, that they want to like take out. And he and his boyfriend are at a party and they go into another room to do coke. And then the boyfriend is like, I want you inside me. So the guy shrinks down and then the boyfriend puts his dick on the table and the boyfriend crawls inside of his dick hole and is like pleasuring him from the inside of his dick. And you see everything.
Wow.
You see a giant dick hole and dick on the table.
Wow.
And I was like, I could say I've never seen this before. Like for reals.
Yeah.
And then
there was a talking dick though in the Pam and Tommy show.
Oh, I know.
Show.
I didn't see it. Voiced by Jason Manzoukas.
Of course.
Whom I love. So and then they're doing coke. So the guy is sneezing and it's set up in a scene prior that when he sneezes, he can't control his size. So he grows again.
Oh my. Oh.
So he's inside the dick and he sneezes and he blows his boyfriend up. And it's very gory and awful.
Wow.
And then the boys swarm the rooms because their whole thing is they try to take out Supes.
Who are the boys?
The boys. So the boys are Billy Butcher.
Mm-hmm.
Huey. There's the Frenchman. There's MM. And there's... she's called Kimiko on the show. She's unnamed in the comic. She's the female in the comic.
Uh-huh.
It's written by Garth Ennis. Uh-huh. They adapted it. And this is like a rogue group of like ex-CIA, ex-Army uh-huh. Ranger. And they're all out because they have a vendetta against superheroes. They've all been wronged by superheroes. Uh-huh. And this is a world sort of like Marvel where they have, but like real, like Marvel comics, Marvel, not like the cinematic universe where they have like A-list superheroes and they have B-list superheroes.
Okay.
Like famously in the Civil War comic series, the Superhero Registration Act occurs because, which is called I think the Sokovia Accords in the movies.
Yeah.
It occurs because a group of like C-list superheroes
right.
are filming a reality show, and one of them loses
right.
control of his powers and like blows up a school, or like school children are killed as a result of him losing control.
Right. In the movies, it's
Because of what happened in Avengers 2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, yeah, the comic was better because in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, secret identities aren't a thing. So one of the things, but they are in the comics. So one of the things about the Registration Act in the comics was you have to tell the government your secret identity.
Right.
And some people did want to do it and some people didn't.
Right. So Iron Man was really in support of it because everybody knew his identity anyway. Right. And it was like, oh, here's a big rich guy who's protected already. His family is safe. And he doesn't give a shit about the little guys who are going, who are have people after them, and their families are going to be in danger if they're on, if it's like a public record who they are.
Right.
And then Captain America famously is anti this, even though everybody knows he's Steve Rogers, but he's just like, this is un-American. You cannot force people to do this because it's like a post-Patriot Act era comic.
Right.
And it's talking, you don't get that in the movies at all.
No.
And then Peter Parker, who
has
a secret identity, but who is very much embroiled with Iron Man and looks up to him. And
although he's adult Peter Parker.
He's an adult Peter Parker. Yeah. So he's with MJ. Like, you know, he's got his family, but he's got a secret identity. And he trusts in Iron Man's support of this bill, outs himself, and then immediately his I think MJ is killed.
Yeah. But the scene where he asks himself is great because they show it through J. Jonah Jameson's perspective.
Okay.
And he's like horrified because he loves Peter Parker and he hates Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And Spider-Man, it's great. He does it on TV. He's like, I've been Spider-Man for the last 15 years.
Yeah.
And he's like,
It blows up his whole life.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in any event, The Boys is that kind of universe.
I see.
And like anyone who's had an encounter with a soup, most of the time they walk away like it's not a positive experience.
Yeah.
So they're doing like SWAT operations that are like black ops against these superheroes and trying to take them down. So like this guy murders his boyfriend by sneezing inside of his dick.
Sure.
And then they're chasing him and he keeps changing size, and then they knock him out and throw him in the bag of coke. And then they drop him on the table and they're like, oh, put him on his side. He's ODing. Just because he like was in there.
A tiny little person.
So tiny,
full of
he just like inhaled it all. Yeah. So, yeah. So things like that I've just never seen. And they're doing.
So are all the villains superheroes? There are no good superheroes?
And the people who run the people who run the company.
So the boys are empowered.
Well.
Whoa.
There's this thing that gives you temporary superpowers. They're the company that manages the superheroes is called Vought. And they are in the business of making money. So they make films and stuff. Like they're kind of like a Marvel-esque company. They have what's called the Seven, and these are the A-list superheroes, and they're hired by Vought, and they make movies and they do special appearances. But they're also, it's this weird thing of like they're paramilitaristic in the sense that like sometimes the government needs them to come do something. But they're very interested in like making formulas that they can sell to the U.S. government to create like super soldiers. But they don't want anybody to be like full-time superheroes because then it infringes on their property, because they consider the superheroes their property, like the ones that they hire. So they give, it's called Temp V. So and it's like a temporary super soldier serum that they can sell to governments to empower their militaries with it. Because first they were lobbying to get superheroes in the military. That was like last season's plot. But now they're just like, we'll just make your superheroes, your soldier superheroes, but temporarily because you can't, you know, have our product.
Interesting.
So it's a very, very dark view of superhero tales. But I think it has interesting things to say. And it's one of the rare instances of like a dark superhero retelling that Patrick Willems is very much in support of, because he's like, he hates like dark superheroes that are supposed to be for kids.
Right.
And this one is absolutely not for kids, so they can go as extreme as they want.
Right. What do you think is more effective? Taking an actual classic character and making like a Dark Knight Returns, or doing like Watchmen or The Boys and creating your own characters to make these points?
I think creating your own characters, because then you don't have to like fuck with the intention of the original characters, right? I mean, you can do a like a tonally darker story, and that's interesting. But like the trend of these movies is to just become darker and darker and darker. Like everything. Well,
especially
is.
With DC.
DC, very much so. I think Marvel has a better, a lighter hand in dealing with these characters. And they actually seem to be going lighter. Like they're with Ms. Marvel, for instance, it seems to be more geared toward young people.
I haven't. Have you watched She-Hulk?
I haven't watched it.
There's a, neither have I, but there's a scene where she like twerks and it became a meme.
Okay.
And then somebody, I saw a meme of it and someone was like, Tony Stark did not die for this.
But you, fuck it. They're having fun at least.
Yeah, yeah. I really...
I loved the new Batman movie, but like, I don't want every movie to be like that. I don't want every Batman series to be like that.
Batman is... Superman is not Batman.
I also don't want to see Batman twerking. I want him to see him doing the Batusie, as he should be.
Right. Yeah. Well, the problem with the fucking Zack Snyder world was, let's make everything Batman. And it's like, no, Batman is... Batman is specifically very different from Wonder Woman and Superman. Right. Why are you making a dark Wonder Woman and Superman?
Yeah.
That's fucking stupid. But going to what you were saying before about having like a world where there's B-list and C-list, I think DC does that better because you see that in like Suicide Squad.
Oh, yeah.
Like you see that. Like I really liked Peacemaker.
I loved Peacemaker.
Peacemaker was so good. And like there's the old guy who's like, do you have a cadre of villains like Batman? Yeah. He's like, no, because I kill my villains. How many people has Batman inadvertently killed by not killing the Joker?
Right, right. He's left him alive so often that he's killed more people.
So I like the idea of like, like Batman and Superman are famous.
Yes.
In Peacemaker.
Yeah.
But Peacemaker's like not.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Like, I don't know who this guy is. Tell me more about yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. Peacemaker was a good show.
Very, very good. I thoroughly enjoyed that.
More than I thought I was going to.
I did not have Mean World Syndrome, even though it was just not, I wouldn't say just as violent, but it was up there. It was very violent.
Oh, it was super violent. But you're,
boys is like, people just get smushed and turned into like viscera all the time.
What I like.
All the time. Yeah, I'm numb to it at this point.
Well, you know what? We're very smushy. Like, that's the thing. Like, we're so frail. Like, even guys who work out, it's like, you're just a meat bag. We're just mush. We're mushy people. Us, what's the different, what's the opposite of exoskeletons?
I mean, I guess endoskeletons?
Us endoskeletons. We're just mush.
We're just mush bags. I gotta tell you, I watch my kids run full speed into like wooden corners and they bounce back. So we're stronger than you think, right?
Oh, they are.
I mean, not us. Oh, no. We're old and weak.
A strong wind.
We've reached that point where you stop growing and start aging. You know, like we're past, way past that.
Yeah, we are dying.
For sure. We're dying. Our cells are dying. Your cells don't die up until a certain point. Like your cells are still, you're not like dying from the moment you're born. I know that's like an edgy, like edgelord thing to say. Like you're dying from the moment you're born. You're actually not. You're growing until...
Like 25 or something?
I think earlier than that, but not by much. It's like 22, 23. And then you're dying. And then you're dying. Then you die after that. Yeah, for sure.
And your vision gets worse. And
everything gets worse after that.
Hearing gets worse.
Yeah.
Your hair becomes thin and gray or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Your balls get droopy. Your tits get droopy. I don't know why I'm in such a dark place right now for this. God. This is a very not chill session. it's all this talk of the boys.
Mean World Syndrome. We got it just by talking about it.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's mean.
Well, there's analogs. Like, there's character analogs.
Sure,
in the
you've
got
to have a Superman.
There's a Superman
type.
He's the villain. Like, he's the main antagonist.
That's
because
great.
It's like, oh, what would a person like this be like?
Right.
If he wasn't raised on a farm by wholesome, wonderful people, and actually raised in a lab without parents.
The same thing happens in Megamind. You ever seen Megamind?
I have seen Megamind. I like Megamind.
The
villain
is
a villain. He's like a he's like a jock. Like,
doesn't he sell out? He does. I thought he was bad.
He's not a villain, but he fakes his own death.
Yeah.
And it's Brad Pitt. He's got a great like hunky voice to go along with it.
You know what I liked a few years ago?
Mm-hmm. The Lois Lane character is not interested in him at all, which I love. It's Tina Fey.
Why? And why would she be?
Super.
She's great on Only Murders in the Building.
I know she's a bigger role in season two.
Yes.
But I have not.
She plays a character based entirely on Sarah
Koenig.
Yeah. The
Serial.
Serial part.
Yeah.
I really liked the cartoon The Incredibles. No.
Yeah. For Pixar?
No.
No.
I'm thinking the wrong thing. What was the fucking... I'm so out of it. What was the one that was on Hulu and it was Seth Meyers made it.
Seth Meyers?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think I've heard of that one.
It was animated. It was really good.
Mm.
Let's look at Mr. Seth Meyers. And his brother was also in it.
Oh.
The Awesomes.
Oh, I never heard of that.
It had three seasons. Mm-hmm. That was a pretty funny...
Oh, you gotta check it out.
...superhero show.
Okay.
Yeah, Seth Meyers' brother played like a Superman type.
Okay.
But he was kind of dumb and... Oh, what's her name? Paula Pell?
I love Paula Pell.
Played like this old... It's good. If you like taking the superhero mythos and turning it around, I think it's good.
There are some good superheroes on the show. They're mostly women who have been assaulted by the main villain.
Okay.
Or the other character. So like they're two...
He's like the Louis C.K. of superheroes.
It's just like they... So the male superheroes who are in that cohort of the seven, who are like the Avengers essentially in this universe, there's two female superheroes on the team, and one's like a Wonder Woman and the other one's, I want to say like a Power Girl, maybe like a Captain Marvel. She's called Starlight. She's like light powers. And the Wonder Woman character is called Queen Maeve. She looks exactly like Wonder Woman in her presentation. Sure. And then there's the Deep, who's an Aquaman.
Uh-huh.
There's Homelander, who's Superman.
Right.
And it's the Flash. What's his name? Oh, shit. I completely forgot his name. It's escaping me. And then there's Black Noir, who... it's kind of like a Deadpool, but he's all black. Like, his costume's all black, and he does not speak. He's just like a mercenary type.
Interesting.
And the women have been completely mistreated and abused and like raped and sometimes like sexually assaulted by the men on the team. And they ultimately become the ones who like plot to take down the other. A-Train.
Oh, okay, I get it. I don't, you know, part of me is getting to a point though where even this kind of thing I'm bored of. Like we're so superheroed out that even like the hot dark take on it or the satirical meta take on it. I feel like there's a lot of those now too.
Yeah. It's also like there's political intrigue. Like there's a congresswoman who's like an AOC type who publicly criticizes superheroes and wants to like fine them, like give them like FCC fines basically for like if they fuck up or if they kill somebody. But it turns out she's actually a soup as well.
Okay.
She's trying to manipulate it from the inside. She's not a good character.
Interesting.
So there's a lot of government oversight groups.
What would you say is the political ideology of the show?
I don't know. They seem anti-Trump in the sense that the supporters of Homelander, once he drops the pretense that he's good, like Superman, he's not full villain, but he just speaks his mind and is like, I don't know why I'm being made to apologize for being better than everybody. And people love that.
Mm.
It's a lot of MAGA rhetoric.
Interesting.
And he's saying the things we all want to hear. Like he's us with superpowers, just like Trump is us with money.
Yeah.
Just a total shithead, low life, but he has superpowers and he's got money. So it's that kind of thing, and they have a lot of protests, and it looks a lot Capitol riots and shit. So I guess it's a leftist point of view.
Why do we want to be dominated by fascists?
I don't know.
You're going to Disney.
Yeah.
And you'll probably go to Galaxy's Edge, where the fun thing is you're living
under Kylo Ren.
Right. And First Order soldiers people will come up streets, to you and be mean to you, and you love it. And it's like, this is a major attraction, American vacation destination in a first world country where the theme is fascism.
Yeah.
I mean, think about
it.
It's
wild.
Kind of mind blowing.
Yeah. I don't know that we're going to spend that much time there because they're not big enough to go on any of those rides and they're not really into Star Wars. Bill and I will take a pass through.
You can do the Han Solo. Actually, you can do any of those rides. There's two.
Oh, yeah.
They're not. They're
I guess
not.
We could do Rise of the Resistance, right? I don't know. I mean, if we could get on.
I mean, really.
It's going to cost us $17 a person if we want to.
Fucking hate Disney. He wasn't booed enough, but Bob Chapek, the current CEO, was booed.
At D23?
At D23 when he came out on stage.
Good. Fucking piece of shit. Charge me for ketchup. Fuck you.
It's really unfucking believable. Although part of me feels like he's the fall guy on purpose. Like, I feel like corporations sometimes have good guy CEO and...
Like heel CEOs?
Yeah. Like...
He's definitely
They needed
CEO.
Him to come in after the pandemic and be the bad cop.
Yes.
And upcharge everything. And then he'll go away, but the things that he put in place won't.
Right. So the bad guy will be... The bad man will be gone, but all of his changes will still be there. I'll still because be paying out the nose to go to Disney.
The last guy, I can't think right now. Bob Iger, was like... thought of as a good guy.
Yeah, good guy CEO.
And this is the bad cop now.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's just sad because it's becoming a thing that a lot of people can't do anymore.
Yeah. And as long as people keep paying for it, they're not going to drop prices.
Right. That's what has to happen.
Yeah. Sorry, everybody.
But you know,
I really wanted to go.
You got Harry Potter over at Universal.
Yeah.
Soon you're going to have Super
yes,
Nintendo
coming
Land.
To Universal.
So
it's gonna be a real player again.
Yes.
What have you been chilling with?
I've been chilling with. Me and Jen watched the third season of Never Have I Ever.
Oh, love that show!
Great show.
Didn't see the third season because it took me all summer to watch The Boys, but it's on my list.
I love the show. I didn't love the second season. I felt the second season was a little bit muddy.
Okay,
but the third season was great. Fair.
Oh, good. All right.
Sometimes I think a series will end a season in a certain... will get their characters in a bad place at the end of a season for a cliffhanger.
Mm-hmm.
And then toil the whole next season to get them out of it.
Mm.
And I think that's what happened with season two.
Okay.
There's too much of season two where the friends aren't friends and everybody's mad at Davey and all that shit.
Although it ended on, like, she's finally with Paxton.
Yeah.
But
season
now...
three begins in a good place.
Okay.
Actually, season three is really good.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought it was a very good show.
Have you watched Sex Lives of College Girls at all?
No.
That's her HBO show. I know, right? It's Mindy's HBO show.
Oh.
Yeah.
No, I haven't.
Mindy, it's supposed to be good. It's supposed to be very good.
I'm looking forward to her Velma show.
Yeah. I've seen a Velma thing on Brazzers.
Yeah. Oh.
Jankies.
You bet. And we watched Only Murders in the Building. That
awesome.
Was very good. Nice, cozy mystery.
Did they put her in great sweaters and boots again?
Who?
Selena Gomez, Mabel.
Yeah.
She's such great coats and outfits in the first season.
I don't know why I didn't think I liked her. Maybe because I'm old. Maybe because I felt like, she's like, I don't know what. Like, I found myself watching the show being so impressed by her.
Mm-hmm.
And always being like, well, why? Like, she's doing a great job, but why did I assume she was going to not be great? Like, why am I so shocked? Is it just that I'm old? Is it that it could be
maybe.
That?
Maybe. I mean, she's older than she looks. She has this
baby
face. Like, she's got these full
cheeks. She looks like a giant baby.
She does look like a baby. She looks so young. And she's got this kind of acerbic voice.
Yeah, I love her voice.
And there's just like this juxtaposition between like what she sounds like and what she looks like.
Right.
I'm like, how old are you?
Right.
Are you orphaning us right now?
Right. Are you orphaning us? Have you seen all the memes of the new Orphan movie where it's like she doesn't quite look like a kid anymore?
No, she's a grown woman now, the actress playing her.
And it's a prequel, which is like,
come on, guys. It's like, this is before I did my plastic surgery to look younger.
Yeah. orphaning. She's orphaning us. Fuck. Yeah, so we loved that.
Fall is upon us.
Fall
it's right
is
there.
Falling. Oh,
just out of reach.
I've been watching Bee and Puppy Cat finally came back.
I'm so sorry. What?
Bee and Puppy Cat?
I don't know what that is.
It was a web series in 2014.
What?
That one. The first episode.
A lifetime ago.
I know. The first episode, it's someone who worked on Adventure Time. It's very anime inspired.
Okay.
And it's about this girl who may or may not be a robot.
Oh.
Named Bee.
Mm-hmm.
And she meets an alien, let's say, who is both a dog and a cat.
Sure.
Puppy cat.
Okay, puppy cat.
And he speaks in
like
weird...
cat dog?
Kinda. Well, no, it doesn't look like one melded with the other.
Okay.
It's just a cute thing that you're like, what are you exactly? It's like, it's Pat, but for dogs and cats. Like a lot of characters are like, are you, what are you? And it speaks in like these weird whistles, but there are, she can understand it and there are subtitles.
Okay.
And she's like a, she doesn't have a job really. Mm. So like they go to, oh fuck, they go to like this giant TV screen alien that gives them jobs on different planets. It's a wild show. It's it's beautiful. Like yeah. literally every single frame is a fucking thing you want to frame and put in your house and be like, this is the most gorgeous thing I've ever seen. It's gorgeous. So the first episode was just made like independently in 2014.
Okay.
It went crazy viral.
Uh-huh.
I actually saw it then because some young person I knew was like, look at this. And I was like, wow, this is great. And then they made like a few more episodes and then it kind of like died out. Mm. And then for years they were like trying to make more and it was like, it's going to happen. No, it's never going to happen.
Right.
And then like randomly, like, or like, random for me, maybe other people had still been tracking it. But then like a new season of it popped up on Netflix and they're like a half hour each where the old ones were 10 minutes.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And I'm only on the second episode. And the weird thing is they're calling it season two, like to the fandom, but it's not called that on Netflix. And the first three episodes or like a remake of the original shorts.
Oh.
So it's the same events. But then after episode three, it goes into all new things.
Okay.
It's
how is it like longer form? Does it suffer at all?
It suffers in that it feel like they'll go on two adventures.
Oh, okay.
And they're, I don't mind this, but they're spending a lot of time. The show has an interesting mix of like mundane, just people living their lives and crazy wild adventures.
Yeah.
So
that's very Adventure Timey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of like her like love interest boy who lives in the same little town as her and the weird little boy who's her landlord, but he's a little boy and his mother's a princess who's in a coma whose magic runs things. It's a just, it's a banana show. It's so hard to explain. It's it's super lo-fi too though. Like it's very like purpley and
ooh, it's, I love that.
Every image, they have this great way of making the color scheme of every composition fit. Like no matter where they are and what they're doing or what they're wearing, somehow the image is always like perfectly balanced, cool color scheme.
Okay.
It's wild. I'm making my way through that.
I like that.
And He-Man season 3.
Okay.
On Netflix. Okay. So that's what I'm chilling with.
Right.
Let's take a break. We'll come back with obsessions. It is obsessions time. We're going to fucking talk about what we're...
All right, you got to go first.
Fucking obsessed with. Everything all right with you?
Yeah, no, my nose is bothering me from all the cocaine I just did.
Rusty pipes a little bit?
No, you know what? I don't want this on the box. I feel like I have a booger that's going to fall out of my nose, and I'm trying to, like, get it before it does. I need maybe take a moment.
Take a moment.
Let me get a tissue real
quick. I always try to get... Jen to pick my nose and me pick her nose and she won't do it.
Now your fingers are too big. You're gonna stretch out her nostrils.
And then I say, I wish you loved me. I wish your love wasn't conditional.
She can get her little fingers in yours, but
she does not want to.
Don't you dare touch hers with your thoughts.
She does not want to. All right, so I'll tell you my obsession.
I'm back. Kind of.
You might have a polyp.
Maybe.
It's very common. Very common. And they're not cancerous. Oh, don't you worry.
In your nose.
In your nose or in your navel cavity.
Oh, no.
I think I have a bunch.
Ew.
Last time I
watched, like nose skin tags. This is easily the grossest thing we've ever talked about.
No, it's like little bubbles of water. I went and the ear, nose and throat doctor did not have very good bedside manner.
Oh.
And he did not lead with that it's not cancerous. He was like, you have polyps? And I was like, pardon? And he was like, they're not cancerous. I was like, okay, real quick note. You're going to want to say that part either right after the first part or you want to leave with that. Anyway, yeah. The fuck are we talking about? Oh, okay. My
obsessions.
My obsession. And this is colon. This is a true obsession.
Okay, I like these. The
rug
best.
Cleaning videos.
Ooh.
Now the best channel for this.
Okay.
Is Mountain Rug Cleaning.
Okay.
Okay, so some of these are like 40 minutes to an hour. Ooh. And you want a nice long one.
You want to settle in.
Yeah. And some of them call themselves ASMR. Mm. I don't get ASMR.
I think it's visual satisfaction, right? It's the same thing we get for visual. Like the hoof cleaning
thing. I guess some people, I think, like the sound. I don't know.
Oh, okay. So
there are some videos that it's just like normal, but like the good videos, mm-hmm. like they figured out that the good videos are you find the filthiest fucking rug you find. Like a rug that was like living
in Motel 6.
Like, no, like it's at the bottom of a house that was
underwater.
On fire. Yeah. Like you want to start it black.
Filthy rug.
And then the changeover.
Oh my.
So
you're like, did you know this rug was powder blue?
Yeah.
Well, it is.
You don't know until you know. So first, they bring it out, and if it's sometimes there's like maggots in it, and you have to like first you just brush it. You brush out.
Just scoot those maggots away.
Yeah.
Scoot them right away.
Then you take the hose and you drench it with water, and you see the blackness just coming out of it.
Okay.
Then you put on the shampoo.
Uh huh.
Then you take this thing that's like it looks like a Zamboni, like it's like a or like a floor wax or whatever.
Okay.
It's got like a round wheel underneath it that churns, and it's got two googly eyes on it, and it's named Dirt Reynolds.
Oh, stop.
So then he takes
it.
Out Dirt Reynolds and he goes all over it, and you see like all these bubbles and suds, and they're dark, and then he wets it again, and this is the best part, and he does this like 9 times.
Uh-huh.
He takes once it's wet, he takes a squeegee, like this long squeegee, and he pushes it along the carpet to make the water go out of it, to like rinse it out, and sometimes they slow that down in slow motion, and it's so satisfying.
Mm.
And then he'll put more shampoo, and then he'll use this thing called the Contra wheel, whatever the fuck, and it's this other thing that he goes over with it, where like it's getting stuff up again, rinses it, and then these are outlaw videos, rinses it. And squeegees again. And every time it's getting a little lighter, you're seeing more. And you're seeing the dirt come out in the water. And that's so satisfying.
Yeah.
Then we flip it over. We got to do the backside.
Oh, no.
Let's do the whole thing again on the backside.
Oh, my God.
Beautiful. Then we flip it over again.
Yeah.
Now we take out the power washer. You got to be careful because you could hurt the fibers.
Right.
He goes all the way through. Beautiful.
Ooh.
Then we do it again.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of repetition, but every time we're getting closer, we're getting better.
Good, yeah.
Now we're using shampoo that has OxyCleaner in it.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And now it's like, at this point, usually you can see the pattern and there's just like a few hard spots.
Yeah.
And you're like, you're seeing more water coming off of it, but there's still a little brown in it. And you're we gotta fucking make that water as clear as possible.
Right.
And we keep working on it. Sometimes he'll do more and more, as many as are needed.
Mm-hmm.
Then when he's like kind of done with the shampoo, he takes a hose and he puts it under it. So it's constantly getting wet. Mm-hmm. And then he just squeegees for an hour. He just squeegees and squeegees just to get as much the dirt out as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Then he vacuums it.
Okay.
Then he puts it in a centrifuge that spins
it. Get all the water out.
And then he shows you exactly. And then he opens the little valve and then the water goes into a bucket. And you see how dirty that water is.
Whoa, after all that.
And if it's dirty, he'll bring it right back and rinse it again.
He just does it again.
Yeah. And
what a life.
The very last thing, we'll get to that. The very last thing is he'll juxtapose the like the before and after.
Before and after.
And like it'll like swipe. Like
oh, no.
It'll
like it just cleaned it again right in front of your eyes.
And it's so satisfying.
Mm-hmm.
Now you said what a life. I watch these and I go, this could be me. This guy just
could be my life. Just like me with the hoof videos. I was like, I could do that. I could clean hoofs.
Yeah.
I could stare at a cow's ass all day.
All you need is this guy, he put like plastic down in his garage for the water, and then just a way to get it out into you know, whatever, a sink or something.
Right.
You just got to have the water go somewhere. But he does it, and then he works like in whatever the fuck he's wearing, but he puts on like rain boots. The squeegee, what's that cost? $30 maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Dirt Reynolds. Like, you basically need to buy 3 things.
Yeah.
And to have a space. And then you can just do this.
Yeah.
And this guy has turned it into not just a business, but a YouTube channel.
I always am amazed by people who have the awareness that what they're doing might be interesting to other people.
Yes.
And to create a channel or like do something with it.
Like the Hoof People.
The Hoof People. What the hell?
Like, who'd have thought?
Like someone would want to watch this. And then everybody wants to watch
because
it.
Because transformations, especially a transformation from ugly to pretty or dirty to clean, is just so inherently satisfying to us.
That's the whole like popular subreddit of oddly satisfying and it's a lot of pressure washer porn, basically. They call it power wash porn. And it's just like a dirty street. Yeah. You're just gonna just power wash it.
To go from dirty to clean.
Mm-hmm.
To go from a rug that you would not even bring inside your house.
You wouldn't wrap a dead body
to
in
a
it.
Rug you would eat off of.
I want to sleep on this rug.
Yeah.
I'll put my babies on this rug.
It looks so lovely.
Mm.
He fucking saved it.
That is good. That's a good one.
Yeah. What are you obsessed with currently?
I mean, the reality is I'm obsessed with my Disney trip and checking like the My Disney Experience app trying to come up with the best possible way to... Oh, I see this. This is cool. The best possible way to get through the parks and like manage my day. Sure. But...
how many days are you going for?
We're going for 6 days. We're going for like a week, basically.
Are you going to like do half? Like, they're so young. Are you going to like do like chill days?
We're
going
to try to do some half days. Like, for instance, Animal Kingdom, right? It's basically a big zoo.
Animal Kingdom's hot, too.
Animal Kingdom is hot. It's going to be hot. I mean.
Right.
So we're going to go to like the petting zoo area. We're going to do the safari.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll do Navi River Journey if we can get on it.
Yeah.
And then the shows. There's Festival of the Lion King there. Yeah, yeah. There's the Nemo show.
They're going to like it all.
Like that stuff they're going to love. And then there's like the gorilla walkthrough, the tiger walkthrough. Like that. They love zoos. So that's something that I imagine will be a really fun day for them. But I'm going to try to get there early so we can see the animals like out. And they get up at like the crack of dawn anyway. So I'm not worried about like missing rope drop. Like we'll be there.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm planning that to be like a half day. Like we'll leave probably after lunchtime, like maybe an hour or two, and then just like hit the pool.
Yeah.
Just kind of chill. But we're doing one of my the dining experience I think I'm the most excited about is Storybook. What is it? Storybook Forest at Artist Point. It's at... Storybook something. It's the Snow White dinner experience. And it's at Fort Wilderness.
Ooh.
And it's like, I don't think, you used to get all the dwarves. I don't think you get all the dwarves now. I think you just get like Grumpy and Doc probably.
The fuck?
But.
This sneezy erasure is.
I know.
I won't have it.
I like Doc. I'm a Doc fan. But the Wicked Queen is there.
Yeah.
And she, you know, it's always like a drag show with her. You know, she's always roasting the shit out of everybody. you take pictures with her. Snow White comes around. But it's also like, it's sort of like Cinderella's castle in the sense that it's like a fine dining experience.
Interesting.
But it's, they try to make it fun for kids too. So they serve like, the soup is in little cauldrons.
That's cute.
When dessert comes.
Your guest is a little like this.
Yes. We actually have reservations there for lunch as well. Another day.
Pro tip.
So, yeah. Try the gray stuff.
It's delicious. Don't believe me. Ask the dishes.
I won't. I won't ask the dishes.
The waiter will say that to you.
Oh, God. I'm just going to throw it in his face. When they present the desserts, there's like a wicked apple dessert.
Oh,
there's like
that's
the
awesome.
Huntsman's box. Like they open
that's,
it for you
that's
and stuff.
And there's a human heart
there's
in it.
There's a pig's. It's a pig's heart.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, no, it's like a cool experience. I'm excited about that one. So, I mean, I know I'm like a broken record, but really, I booked this trip in February.
Yeah.
There has been little else on my mind. It's been 7 months in the making, and now I'm 7 days away, so.
Are you worried at all about the post-mortem hangover?
Absolutely,
depression?
Yes. Yeah. I'm just like, okay, so we're 7 days out from Disney.
Life
and
is meaningless.
The next 7 days, I will be in Disney, and then... We'll be planning next Disney, right? Like, where are we going to go? What are we going to do? Let's close their college fund. Let's start putting that money into Disney trips. When's the Disney Wish sailing again?
Yeah.
So, things like that.
Yeah, I think the next thing we're going
to
do...
Bill's like, you get to fucking pace yourself, lady.
Yeah.
I'm not a travel agent. Like, I'm not going to get you annual trips. I'm like, well, we'll
I don't
see
even think
about
they have
that.
Annual passes anymore.
They don't. Not for people outside of the state. I think in state people can still get them.
Fuck, it's so different.
I don't fucking know. No, it really is. It's a totally different world.
Me and Jen.
Yeah.
we are like the last people. We're the last men standing. We went 2 weeks before the pandemic
closed down. Yes, I know.
We were like some of the last people for like a lot of stuff. I said it was like a very escape
from New York, and it was never again the same after you guys left. Yeah. It was.
I mean, there's not even any fucking Magical Express now.
No Magical Express. No complimentary magic bands for staying in a resort.
Right.
No Fast Pass system.
Yeah. They got the fucking super complicated genie.
I watched a 57-minute video about how to use it.
And you still don't understand it.
I'm like okay about it, but I feel like I'm studying for the SAT. Like I feel like I prepped for it. I truly prepped for it more than I prepped for my GRE. I'm not kidding about that. And I regret that, but I hope I won't regret this. I hope I'm just like a whiz when we get there. I was on the phone with them today because we couldn't link Magic Mobile passes.
They're the nicest customer service in the world.
Great.
Though.
It was
They're
really all great. Southern. Like the guy helped me out very quickly.
Did he ask you what ride you're most interested? You're
no,
looking
he didn't.
To?
But he goes, "Oh my gosh, I must be sprinkled with pixie dust today because I figured it out very quickly." I was like, "I absolutely love you a lot.
Love it." I hope they're paying you a living wage.
I was like, oh God, I just hope you're all right wherever they're chained, wherever they have you chained.
He's like, I'm living in my car, but you know what? It's magical in there.
Right now, I just peed into a water bottle, ma'am, and I'm just having a great day. I'm having a magical day.
I am food insecure, which is a political correct way of saying starving to death.
Oh God, it's so sad. And they have the best people in the world working for them.
Yes.
They really, really do. They make all the difference. The cast
they
members
want
are wonderful.
To. Yeah.
I'm going to get them a first visit button for each of them. So I hope people just like yell.
Oh, yeah. At them in the street, they love it.
Because it's cute.
They're going to absolutely love it. Their lives are not. They're going to be different. This is the last week of their lives pre this.
I know. It's a lot of changes for them.
They're going to be different. Do you think about like Peter's experience?
I don't think he'll remember it.
Yeah, because he's young.
But I think he'll enjoy it. And I don't know that he'll have the memories of it. I don't think he will. But he'll be in all the pictures. And like that alone.
You could force him to remember it.
Well, no. Like he'll just. He's. The favorite thing to do is to look at pictures of themselves on my phone.
Right.
And so
kid's a narcissist. Yeah,
oh, very much so. And I think he'll just look at the pictures. Yeah. Like that's me with Mickey. That's me. And like even though he doesn't have a memory of it. Yeah. Like, he'll talk about it as he's older. Like he has a memory of it. Like Henry will say things like, oh, when I was little, I did this. And it's like, well, that's because I showed you a picture that you did it. And like, you don't remember that. Again, I told you, he can't have a podcast.
Yeah. You know, you're stomping all over his podcast dreams.
He's a liar.
Oh, boy.
Oh, man. But yeah, that's pretty much it. I've been... if we're going to go into the world of YouTube videos, because that's really like main, that's the primary media that I consume.
Yeah, sure.
My ASMR, I'm totally into Fred's Voice ASMR.
What's that?
So Fred's Voice is this channel. It's this British guy. He has kind of a deep voice. He does a lot of geek centric ASMR videos.
Sure, sure, sure.
I like his videos are pretty funny, which I like. But his voice is triggering to me. I've gotten to the point with ASMR where I can't listen to whole channels that I like really used to like.
Oh,
even
really?
If they're doing like fun setups, like even if the premise of their video is cool, I don't listen to them because I can't get tingles from them anymore. You become tingle averse
to a certain voice.
Like I give myself a break. And I'll be like, maybe it'll give me tingles this time. And I'll go back after like 6 months and it still doesn't. So like some channels I completely just don't listen to anymore because it doesn't work for me. And it switches up. Like it used to be female voices, like soft female voices would do it. And it doesn't do that for me anymore. Now it's like a deeper, like richer tone, like male voice.
Interesting.
That'll probably change. So right now his voices give me the tingles. And specifically, so his thing... And it's funny, these videos don't do it for me, but his main thing is like he does rude Englishmen. So he'll have a variety of characters, but they're all very rude to you.
Sure.
I'm like, I don't like that. Don't be mean. but some of the ones he does these amazing Bob Ross series.
Interesting.
And he really kind of catches the cadence. His ads are also very good. Like he'll film himself doing like sponsor ads, but the ads are funny. Like it seems like he puts time into them, and I don't mind watching the ads that he does.
A lot of actual old Bob Ross is repackaged now as ASMR.
It's considered original ASMR. It's in the ASMR community. It's considered like gateway ASMR.
It's also, I think, fits into that thing of like transformation porn.
Yeah.
Like
And also in cozy 30 watching. Minutes, like, yes. Yeah, it's all of those things.
A blank canvas to a landscape in 30 minutes.
There's a lot happening in the Bob Ross videos because it's not just satisfying to watch. Because it's not just satisfying to watch the transformation. It's also satisfying to watch his paint knife and, like, scraping the paints. And then there's the ASMR, like patter sound of him, like, touching the palette with the knives. What
do they call that? Wet on wet or something like that?
It's that is one of the sounds, but it's also there's like a clicking sound with like the metal scraping.
Oh, what about when he cleans his brush? Like that,
beat the dickens out of it. Yeah. Beat the devil out of it. That's what he says, beat the devil out of it. And then his voice and his approach and his pronunciation of certain words like titanium white. he says the H in his words, the white.
Have you seen his documentary?
I haven't.
The funny thing is, he actually had a bad relationship with his son.
Oh.
Because his son wanted to paint different things.
And no.
He was like, we fucking paint landscapes. And the son was like, I want to paint ponies or whatever the fuck. It was ridiculous. And he's like,
you're no son of mine.
Right. But the real...
it's amazing.
The real bombshell of it is that his business partners was this weird married couple. And they basically like railroaded him and like are still completely controlling everything he did. It's really weird. Very weird.
I gotta check that out. Last night I listened to, and it puts me to sleep, puts me right out. So last night I listened, he does this other series of where he's Gandalf.
What is this?
Yeah.
What?
So the best
What's thing, visually happening?
Visually, he's just on screen like in a Gandalf costume. And then he has like a green screen background and it's like Bag End, right?
Yeah.
So in this one, it's like Bilbo has a collection of rings and he has one ring that he wants to keep. But he said that, you know, you've been very kind to him and you've always taken care of his house while he's on his adventure. So you can have his other rings. But I just, you know, he asked me to come here to make sure to take off any dark magic that might be attached to these rings. So then he takes this bag of rings.
Yeah.
And to make the clicking sound, he's very clever in his approaches. So like the bag of rings has its own sound. And then he's like, I can't touch the rings because they might have dark magic. So I'm going to use this like tong basically to like pick up the ring. And that makes its own clicking sound. And then he's like, oh, this looks like it has some dark magic here. And then he'll tell you like some story that he made up based on Lord of the Rings lore about this ring.
Interesting.
And then he'll do like a spell. And I often like wonder like what about this made him want to do an ASMR video about it, or is it just like a fun thing that he likes? But there is an aspect in the movies that is ASMR about Gandalf. Whenever he does like an elven language thing, like under his breath, and he's like making guttural noises, that's something that they do in ASMR a lot. So I'm like, oh, that must have been his gateway here, like, because then he does those spells and it gives you ASMR, which is interesting. So that was a cool video that I listened to last night. I'll probably listen to it again tonight.
Are there ASMR podcasts?
You know, I don't know.
It feels like there would be, right?
There's ASMR porn. Don't ask. I mean, I'm just a lover of ASMR, so you know.
See, that seems
odd. Doesn't work,
right? Because it feels like it's trying to do two different things at once.
It doesn't work because here's the thing. Porn is stimulating, and ASMR is supposed to be relaxing.
Right.
So it's trying to trigger two different parts of your brain,
right?
And it doesn't achieve that's what either, I figured. Really?
Right,
so
right.
It doesn't work.
Right. Well, we did it.
We sure did.
This has been PCMC. This has been a Foley.
It's a Foley.
You love a big throbbing Foley. This is
you sure do.
I'm Mike Bongiorno. I was joined by Janine Gagliardi.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here and have a good time at Disney World.
Thank you. I know. Sorry, I'm not going to see you until we get back. And I'll be
have a lovely time.
Coming back with some goodies for sure. Lots of haul. We'll do a haul.
I'm excited.
We'll do a Disney haul.
We end every episode by saying,
go bye-bye.